It's Young Man Wednesday here on the MLB show at BetUS TV. I'm Kyle Provine. He's Corby Craig. He's Kenny McAndrus, and we are your Major League Baseball team for Wednesday, April 24th. So it is a Young Man Wednesday, and look, it's back like right. One of the things lately about baseball, not a lot of great headlines. We don't have a lot of exciting headlines, right? We've got Shohei Ohtani somehow not knowing that $17 million is missing. Right. Cool. Got it. And he had nothing to do with it. Cool. Got it. And then we have pitching injuries, right? And this pitching injuries thing has really started to take like a mind of its own. And the thing that bugs me, and I know we've sort of talked about this before, what was the pitcher? Mark Leiter Jr. for the Cubs says it's 100% the pitch clock, not enough time in between rests. And so are we really going to blame arm injuries on like 3 or 4 extra seconds of rest in between pitches? That seems absolutely senile to me. First, we remind you guys, thanks for watching. We love you guys. Best chat box in the business. Get your questions out there. We'll have 3 games on the docket. We're going to get to as many of them as we can at the end of the show. Hit the like button, subscribe button, betustv.com/join, all that good stuff. But Kenny, it kind of bugs me a little bit. Now, the one that makes the most sense to me is velocity. When you look at the guys who are going down, they're guys that throw really hard. Trevor Rogers for the Marlins came out and said, "Look, I was searching for velocity last year, trying to get more and more. I got hurt, not a season-ending injury, but it caused me to get hurt." That to me would be more of a factor than this nonsense that 3 or 4 seconds extra in between pitches is going to somehow save your arm.
I completely agree. We've talked about this a lot, I think, in previous shows. I really don't think it has anything to do with the pitch clock. I think it's the combination of guys searching for more velocity and the lack of sticky stuff. I think just it's the combination of them trying to throw really hard while them having to grip the ball deeper in their grip, harder than they've had to do in the past, really at any level. And it's making them feel pain in spots they've never felt pain before.
Yeah, I completely agree. And so these pitchers, what are they trying to get? Like, why would you want the game? These guys are, it's like going to work and you're like, "Hey, listen, I want you to pay me the same amount, but I want to work longer. I want to be here longer." It makes no sense. And it's just, to me, it's idiotic that it would be the pitch clock. And again, history might prove out that I'm completely dead wrong. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a scientist by any stretch of the. I'm a doctor of love, so get your love questions in the chat box. I haven't fixed one marriage this year, and I'm starting to get a little upset about that. But what do you think, Corby? Is it velo? Is it grip? Is it? It's not the pitch clock, right?
Yeah, it's definitely velo. I mean, sticky stuff obviously helps, and it's more fun to talk about sticky stuff, but it's velo. Like, yeah, I talked about this last time, but there's more people hitting 100. There's more 10 plus swinging strikeout per nine than we've seen in my life. So it's people trying to push the gun, push the narrative. And I mean, it makes sense. It's kind of how the adaptation of a sport is going to happen. It's always going to be that way. And Michael Jordan couldn't even dribble with his left hand. And now you have people who can do whatever. And baseball is going to do the same thing. So yeah, it's velo. I think anybody saying pitch clock is weird. Also, like the one thing for me is so many pitchers get hurt. At some point, you're going to have some kind of technology or like in the NBA, you have ankle braces. Like everyone has to wear an ankle brace. They jump too high not to. Like there has to be something you can make for a pitcher's throwing arm to at least mitigate the risk. Like they're not even wearing a compression sleeve out there. And I don't know. At some point, there's going to be so many injuries that I think we have to taking down the best of the best. Glass now 2 years ago, Strider this year. So we got to get it figured out.
Are you thinking about like that mechanical arm Will Smith has in iRobot? Like
I'd
I
be
think
okay
something
with
like
that.
that would solve a lot of problems here.
I
I'd be okay
love
with
that.
that.
And shout out to B. Burens, watching all the way from Amsterdam every day. Keep it up. Kyle looks like he would like it here. First of all, Goeiemorgen mullacha to you. That is Dutch for good morning. My family is Dutch. I have family outside of Alsmeer. And so I'm a Dutchie, isn't that weird? So a big Goeiemorgen mullacha to you, and thank you for watching from Amsterdam. I love that shit. I love when we get the people in crazy times, foreign countries, and then I get to display a little like foreign language, a horrible, snotty version, but we know how to do that. Our guy Fezzik's in the house saying a young man MLB show. Of course, you got to catch Fezzik with all his stuff. Follow him on Twitter, and of course, check out our MLB show. It's big time this week. We got Kentucky Derby and the NFL draft. So lots of good stuff going on. For those of you wondering, the favorite fierceness looks real tough. And the guy, my guy that knows tells me he's going to be a real tough horse to beat in that race. Let's go over the records here and get you going. Yesterday, the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, I was on a streak. I was feeling good. The Twins come back and keep the parlay alive with a come-from-behind victory over that crappy White Sox bullpen. The Dodgers sort of had to struggle against the Nationals. And then, of course, the freaking Orioles, Grayson Rodriguez comes out and just shits the bed. I mean, Mike Trout, his first leadoff at bat in 3 years, hits a home run, or 4 years, I think it's since 2020, right? In 4 years, hits a home run. So let's get back on track today. First game on the docket. And Kenny, you let me know, because I know you have something you want to talk about today that you got burned on. You let me know when you're ready to fire away on that, and the floor is all yours.
I'm ready right now. Let's hit it. I'm ready.
Okay, well, let's hit it before we get into the game. Kenny's got a hot take here, and we have a new segment here, as you guys have seen. I haven't got to see it yet, but Kenny's got a hot take here, so the floor is all his. Before we get into the games, let's let him go.
So I want to talk to you about the word total, all right? Just the word total. So the word total comes from the Latin word.
Wait, one second. Kevin, get us this.
There he is. Okay, go.
Greatest. Hey, you did the wrong guy. It's not me.
Because I think it's Kenny. I love it. I love this. I love the actually getting it.
And go. The word total comes from the Latin word totalis, which means comprising or constituting a whole. The entire. In other words, the total amount. And from Merriam-Webster's dictionary, total implies that everything has been counted, weighed, measured, or considered. So if that's true, how could there be two statistics in baseball that have the word bases in them, but not be included within total bases? I'm talking about base on balls, and I'm talking about stolen bases. They should be included in total bases. And look, if that was true, would the markets have to account for this and you would get shittier prices on total bases? That's fine. But hey, at least it will feel honest and grammatically correct. And no, I am not saying this just because I had Esteri Ruiz 2+ total bases and he walked 3 times. Of course, that's not why I'm saying this. But total bases, walks and stolen bases should be counted in total bases.
I don't think that went how we expected that to go, right? The box didn't go where we wanted it to go. That was pretty – I love when that happens. It's live TV. It's live TV. Ed Blust is lost. I don't even know if they got to hear you, because I don't know if you were blocked out and just Corby sitting in silence. It's there.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. That's right. Animator fault. Live TV, baby. We love live TV. But if you guys didn't hear it, look, Kenny, he's absolutely right. If you're going to say total bases, that's why you have to read all of it, because they'll say total bases from hits. But a walk is almost harder to get sometimes than a base hit. In fact, it probably is. I haven't looked at the data exactly, but it's tough to get a walk, right, Corby?
Yeah, I do agree. I whenever I saw it, I was also shocked. Like, I mean, I knew it was total bases in parentheses from hits, but like, it just seems like if you're a competent enough batter to get a walk, you should be awarded a base at least.
Yeah, I want to just clarify here, like, I'm aware of the rule. It wasn't like I bet it and thought I hit my Esteri Ruiz bet and was like, wait, that's not a, like, I'm very familiar with the rule and how these markets are graded. It's not like sportsbook language. Like, total bases is like an MLB stat and these aren't included in them. And it's like, how is a stolen base not a total base? Like, I don't know. Again, it comes from the word totalis. And if you're a Harry Potter fan, Petrificus Totalis in Latin, that roughly translates to I'm going to petrify your entire fucking body. So,
yeah,
I don't know, man.
Speaking of that, I did get platinum on Hogwarts Legacy, just to say. So I'm pretty badass at the Harry Potter video game. And I just platinum Baldur's Gate 3. So that shows how much of a nerd I am. I platinum the whole thing, even in honor mode. Pretty proud of myself about it. Nonetheless, I digress. All right, let's get in here. And you guys are right. Getting walks should count for something. But I will say, I have like a little thing that I do with strikeout props. It's pretty successful, but I think the walk props could start being the new strikeout props. The strikeout props are starting to get priced just out of existence. The walks aren't there yet, so it's something I am keeping a close eye on and might be having something on very, very soon. First game on the docket. Thank you, Kevin. Sorry, we got you all flustered. It's our fault. We started out with the hot take. We had the graphic up for the game. It's really my fault here for being clunky as I organize things. So I'll take the heat on this one, Kev. We have the best people backstage. They do the best job. Do you see him put the foam fingers up at me because it's my fault? There you go. That's what we do around here. First game on the docket, 9:51, 9:52. I'll wait for that to pop up here. We're getting to 9:51, 9:52. There we go. We have Jordan Montgomery and the Diamondbacks at minus 108. Kyle Gibson and the Cardinals at minus 102. Total of 8 with a tiny bit of juice to the under at minus 112. I got to tell you, I love me some Diamondbacks here today. It's Jordan. The Cardinals have stunk against left-handed pitching. I was really encouraged by how good Montgomery looked in his first start. 6 strong innings, really shut him down. And so when I have a guy that looks as already, it's not a Blake Snell situation where it's like, hey, he can't get out of the fourth inning. He's already pitching deep into games. He's already looking effective. The Cardinals are struggling against lefties. Kyle Gibson, an 872 weighted OPS against the Diamondbacks here. I love the Diamondbacks double result. I'm getting it at plus 150, 10 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Sign me up. Kenny, what are your thoughts on this one, Diamondbacks Cardinals?
I agree with you completely. I didn't go as far as double result, but I did take the D-backs money line. We already know the Cardinals, I think, are the second worst team in baseball this year against lefties. You get a little bit of a Jordan Montgomery revenge narrative going up against his former team. And I'm usually sort of on the fence to, you know, play a team after they scored like a billion runs the night before. Diamondbacks put up 14 runs last night, so you wonder if they're going to come back to earth a little bit. But I mean, the entire lineup was breaking. I think every single player on the team had a hit. I think five of their 9 starters had 2 hits. So they're just swinging hot bats right now. I have no faith in Kyle Gibson. He's giving you 2 okay starts. He's giving you 2 terrible starts. He got absolutely rocked by the Marlins. I just think his range of outcomes are all over the place here, and I have a lot more faith in Montgomery. So I like the D-backs money line.
Yeah, and Ed Bless. Oh, and if you're getting the run line in the first 5 at plus 130, so I'll take the 20 cents in the double result because I think we have a big enough lead. But typically I'd want it to be a little bit more, and he's absolutely right. That's what she said. Okay. Corby, what are your thoughts on this one? Montgomery, Gibson. He's taking the money line. I think you're getting a good price in the money line too. What, minus 102? That just seems priced wrong to me. Plus 150. I have it priced over here, Corby. When I look at this one at minus 142 to the Diamondbacks, I'm all D-backs this morning. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, there's one really big issue with this game. It's what, probably an hour ago, the Diamondbacks released their lineup, and their lineup stinks. No Marte. Ugh. No Moreno, no Yuli Gurriel. Like, this is going to be a shell of the lineup that you usually have, but I still agree. Like, Kyle Gibson's not good. We've seen this for some time. He gives up hard hit balls. And Christian Walker is just the guy who somehow, every single time I watch a baseball game, is the guy who finds a way to hit a home run when you need it or when you don't need it. He's your kryptonite or your worst enemy. And it wouldn't surprise me if he can get after Kyle Gibson here in a spot where they could get some good contact. Jordan Walker looks good. The Cardinals kind of look bad. So do still kind of agree with the side. The only thing that would hold me off is this lineup that got posted. It's just, it's not the greatest. Also, Corbin Carroll's in the 7th spot, which is weird to see. A guy who was playing so well kind of fall down into this spot where he's not striking out. He gets a lot of walks. He doesn't have really high expected batting average. Maybe they're just trying to use him to flip a lineup, but it just doesn't make too much sense to me. So in a lineup, this is kind of weird. Going to chill and not really have an opinion on the game.
I hear you there,
but you know who is in the lineup? Jock Peterson. I got Jock in the cleanup spot today.
He's
got
righties.
I think Jock is going to send a Kyle Gibson ball to Uranus later. So I'm okay with the lineup regardless.
Yeah, and so there are a few red flags here. And look, when I'm finding myself a lady, I find myself plenty of red flags. I want those crimson red flags and try to battle through it. So you're right. They blew their load last night, 14 runs. First game of the day early this morning. Lineup's not their typical lineup. So we've got those red flags. But if you try to take it the other way and take the slight dog money on the Cardinals, you're backing Kyle Gibson. You're backing a lineup that's, what, the second worst in baseball against left-handed pitching. Does not – for me – I got to trust the process. Cardinals after that. Probably after that Tony La Russa-esque type lineup for day baseball. Next game on the docket, 961, 962. And quite frankly, a price I couldn't believe on the double result here. We got Sixto Sanchez and the Marlins at plus 195. Reynaldo Lopez and the Braves at minus 225. Total of 9 flat across the board at minus 110. Corby, I'm doing Braves double result at plus 105. So they're minus 225 favorites. I have them priced at minus 256. But we're getting plus 105 on the double result. Reynaldo Lopez, talk about transferring, switching from bullpen to starting pitcher and just having no issues with it whatsoever. Still hitting 100 on the gun, going 6 innings in nearly every start. To me, huge pitching advantage, obviously. Sixto Sanchez coming out there. I think he's debuting. That's his first start this season against the Braves. Not what you're looking for. Give me the Braves double result. If I can get a minus 225 favorite at plus money and it's the Braves against the Marlins, sign me up. Braves double result plus 105. What do you got on this one, Corby?
Yeah, I fully agree. If this is plus 05, I'm going to take that as well. That will be my play for the sheet, and we just won't pop up the graphic because that is a crazy price. The Braves minus 145 to be up through 5 and correlated if they're up through 5. We've kind of talked about this. 30 cents is fine, so getting way more. I was going to talk about this game anyways in the sense of I was going to play the alt derivative of race to 4 runs Braves to get their first minus 130. I mean, if you look at this Marlins team, I've talked about this a million times, but they can't score. They've only scored over 4 runs in 7 games this year. That's 27% of their games, basically. This isn't a team that has production in their lineup at all. The Braves obviously could score 6-0. Actually, I'm a fan of 6-0, but he's become a one inning, basically like an opener. It's just because he's been hurt and he throws really hard, and they're worried he's going to get hurt again. This Marlins organization cannot keep pitchers safe to save their life, so probably a smart idea. But yeah, the Braves, in any competent way of backing a derivative of the Braves, be it the Marlins and the Marlins not scoring a lot of runs, if you can get a double result plus 105, give me that. That will be my bet for this game for sure.
We have a question, Kenny. Jock Peterson's available in my 16-team MLB fantasy league I'm in. Should I be picking him up? And I would think your answer would be closer to mine. Like, if you know that he's going to face nothing but righties all week, that's fine. But
depends on the size of your bench too. Like, if you have a view of the league where if it's a 16-team league and you've got a lot of bench spots and you've got places to burn, maybe. But otherwise, he's going to be a situational guy. He's not going to play anywhere close to every game. And like the league I'm in, like bench spots are incredibly valuable. So like, I couldn't pick him up in my league.
So just to clarify too, Ed's like the Braves double result is minus 125 now, but when we have to put these in is much earlier, we have to get it into a sheet and we have guys that do graphics and everything. And at the time when I put it in, they don't penalize us for that. It was at plus 105, but even at minus 125, I'm fine with it. Quite frankly, I usually don't love double results at that price, but the Braves should rake today. Corby switching his to the plus 105 as well. He's backing that because we get it at that time. He had the race to 4. Kenny, what are your thoughts on this game? Sixto Sanchez, who's going to be the bolt guy? Any word on the bolt guy here for the Marlins?
Corby, I haven't seen who the bolt guy is going to be after Sixto. Have you?
I haven't seen it either. I've been looking all morning too. I can take a guess. Just talk about the game and I'll try to figure out who it is.
So the only thing that I was thinking about adding for this game, I think I even put in our chat earlier, I was going to live button it. I think I'm gonna pass because I like my live live shot later. I thought about going with the no run first inning here. Again, I like the Marlins to not score, maybe even the entire game. And my thought was, can Sixto give you like one good inning? He's going scoreless in his last 3 innings. And this is a guy that came into the league as like one of the top prospects, one of the best prospects in my Phillies organization. We never really got to see him do anything. So, you're getting like pretty much even money for no run first inning. It's the thought is, do you think Sixto can get through this, the top of the Braves order one time? I'm not going to get there, but all I'll say is I really, really, really thought about it.
Yeah, it's for me, it's Braves or nothing. And I know sometimes these look too easy. And hey, if the Marlins rake on Reynaldo Lopez, who's been sensational this year, and the Braves can't score a run and they lose, Trevor said it in the chat box, and so be it. I'll take the damn loss. But look, I mean, the process is the process here. All signs point to the Braves. I'm locking in the Braves double result plus 105. Corby's locking in Braves double result plus 105. I think it's the way to go. Sixto over Reynaldo. To me, Reynaldo Lopez is one of the great stories. I just love when guys are able to transition from the bullpen like this and become – he's been an elite starter early on in the year, ERA under one. He's been fantastic. Let's get to the next last game on the docket, then we'll get to your questions. 975, 976, Garrett Crochet and the White Sox at plus 170. Joe Ryan and the Twins at minus 190. Total is at 6.5 with juice to the over at minus 120. You don't see that very often. that just kind of blows my mind. Kenny, what are we doing here with this 6.5 total? White Sox, Twins. Look, I backed the Twins yesterday in a parlay. They had to come all the way back, and they did it late. Two-run homer by Larnick in the eighth, and then they were able to tie it in the ninth and then go ahead and win it in the ninth. But they were trailing the entire game. I don't know. Twins, I'm feeling a little weird about the Twins right now.
Yeah, I wanted to get excited because Garrett Crochet was looking like he was going to be like the absolute steal of my fantasy league. And just it looks like the league has caught up to him. He has gotten absolutely shelled his last two outings. So I don't know how much faith I'm going to have in him today. The only thing that I could see that could maybe slightly justify the total is the weather here. I'm going off, Ballpark Pal has this at like a minus 37% home run potential. Corby, I don't know if we want to throw some weather at you. What are you seeing in the forecast in Minnesota here that could potentially add some credence to this low over?
It's gonna rain. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. No, it's a Family Guy reference. We'll have a graphic soon. Let me pull this up. No. I don't think it's going to rain. It looks like it's just the fact that it's in Minnesota. Minnesota is a pretty tough spot to hit home runs anyway. It's not very much wind. We see 58 degrees, sunny, late night game. It seems like a pretty normal spot for weather, but Minnesota is a tough spot to produce runs. It's kind of like Oakland. Like any kind of weather is extrapolated like to a multiple of pretty high. You'll see balls basically just stop at the warning track. In Oakland, and thank God it just won't be a stadium anymore because there's not even people to watch the ball get stuck in the warning track. But yeah, here, pretty easy for me. Took Joe Ryan, 8+ strikeouts. I think it was plus 127. This moved all morning, so hopefully it's plus 127 still. It was 170 when I locked it in on the sheet. It's moving like wildfire and for good reason. Joe Ryan has all the makings of good stuff. And kind of how I talked about with Max Fried yesterday, which we need to clip up the Max Fried talk of yesterday. I'm not going to lie. It was nail on head. I was so excited that it played out how I thought it would. Joe Ryan's kind of the same spot. He only has a 3% walk rate this year, 32.3% strikeout rate. Now he's going to face a lineup who just does not care to play baseball. They have four guys over a 30% strikeout rate on the year. And the best guy at not striking out on the White Sox right now is Nicky Lopez. Like this is just not a lineup that has the ability to not swing and miss. They're going to. Joe Ryan has the stuff. He has the breaking stuff, and he has speed to get swing and miss and whiffs. So he's going to stay in long. The Twins would like that just due to the nature of yesterday's game. I think he's plenty fine. So Joe Ryan, 8+ strikeouts, plus 127. I think you can get over 6.5 minus 157. So to need one more strikeout for basically 100 cents, that doesn't make too much sense, and I will take that strikeout prop.
See, Corby, if you were better with your 90s and 2000s pop culture, you could have said he's got the right stuff, baby, and done a little New Kids on the Block, but you don't even know who they are, right? You don't know who New Kids on the Block are. Kenny, you know who they are, right?
Of course.
Yeah, he has no idea. That's like that's where Mark Wahlberg and the Wahlbergs came from and all this. That's, you know, where it was like okay to be a little flamboyant and maybe love who you love in the 90s, but no right stuff for Corby here on the show. What do you think about this one, Corby? Or Kenny, Twins, White Sox. I have it priced right about market, minus 213 to Minnesota. I just didn't see the value here. And even though I agree Joe Ryan's better, the Twins are better, we have seen Garrett Crochet pitch really well at times. And someone just said it in the chat box. They asked you about Oakland beating the Yankees, and some of these crappy teams are going to win games, right? We saw the Angels smoke the Orioles last night. They're going to win games. This almost feels like a trap to me.
In reference to the question in the chat, if there was a gun in my head and I had to bet a dog, I mean, I would bet Oakland 100 times before I bet the White Sox. I need to see another start from Crochet. I mean, he looked like a Cy Young candidate his first couple of starts, and he's looked horrific in his last two. So I want to see if this balances out a little bit, or if like the secret's out and like three games of data was all these MLB teams needed to figure out how to hit the guy. So I need to see him go out there and also see if he's even going to be on my fantasy team next month, because if he gets rocked again today, it could be over. But I just think he's too hit or miss. I don't really know what to make of it. And there's just no upside here in betting the Twins. So I just stayed away from this one.
Yeah, I agree. There's just not enough value today for me on the Twins. But I like what Corby's doing here, attacking the bad bats of the White Sox. For purposes of the show, we're going to lock in Joe Ryan at an alternate K number, 8+ strikeouts. And that's sitting at +127. That's a lot of Ks. A lot of things got to go right. But it is indeed the White Sox. Let's get to your questions. We're definitely going to talk Giants-Mets. Let's just do that. I know there's questions about it. The game is early. I have a live bet on this as well. And I tweet out strikeout props every day. So if you guys follow me on Twitter, I like to – they've all been plus money. I think we've hit 4 out of our last 5 all at plus money. Never. But this one I'm paying a little bit of juice on in this Mets-Giants game. I like Blake Snell. Let's get that live button ready because I'm going to go ahead and add it to the sheet. I don't like doing this with juice. I never pay juice on the show. You almost never see me do it. But Blake Snell is not getting over 6.5 strikeouts today against the New York Mets. The Mets strike out the second fewest of baseball. He's been absolutely atrocious. They're not even shown a willingness to give him more than 80 pitches. And now you're getting his strikeout prop under 6.5 at -130. And again, the price over at BetUS is better than I found across the market. So head over to BetUSTV.com/join. I think it was 5 cents better than the next closest one. But -130 to me, I just think that's priced wrong. I think that should be more like a -180 or a 190 to go under 6.5. I thought the number for sure after his last start would be around 4.5, 5.5 at the most. The fact that it's at 6.5 against the Mets team with the second fewest overall strikeouts in baseball makes no sense to me. Give me under 6.5 strikeouts for Blake Snell in this Giants Mets game at -130. What do you think about this one, Kenny? Jets or Giants Mets?
We're going to do a little double live button. Fire me up. Fire me up with the live button. I'm going to take Pete Alonso to go yard today. I need to do it. Snell looks terrible. The wind is blowing straight out to right center in San Fran today. And Alonso, one, is just already off to a hot start. I think he's got 7 home runs already in the month of April. And he's got great numbers against Snell. 5-16 with 2 bombs, with the wind blowing out against a crappier version of Snell. Give me a big meat Pete to hit an absolute moon bomb.
Love that. Love live betting the home run prop. I see the question mark on the sheet. It really is -130, Julian. I promise. I looked it up before the show. What are your thoughts on this Giants-Mets game? A lot of people asking about this one. An earlier game as well, around noon, 12:45 Pacific time, I think, somewhere like that.
Yep. I'm trying to pull up my Pete Alonso number. I'm sure it's probably agrees. Pete Alonso, my favorite home run prop of the day, actually. I made this 4:45. And you can get 4-1. Julian, it is -130 as well. You can find it on Prop Builder, 129 Snell. So agree with both. First thing, I think Snell has the stuff. I kind of talked about this with Freed yesterday, but Snell started off slow last year and found his own. It's just kind of the nature of baseball at the current state, is it takes a little longer to heat up. And is he heated up yet? I don't know. We've only played, 26 games. So not buying into it yet. I'm okay with the idea of fading him. Not the main reason not being strikeout stuff. The main reason being, I don't know if he goes deep into this game. And this is kind of what Kyle talked about pre-show. I'm not sure he goes 6 innings pitch. So can he strike out 7 and 4.5? He can. He has the ability to. But I think in most cases, you're going to get a pretty good price there. As for the Pete Alonso home run, I hate backing home runs on totals this low. Like, you see a first 5 total 3.5, which is terrifying. But as I kind of referenced, my number has Pete Alonso as the best home run price of the day. It's Pete Alonso. Let me just knock these out. It's Pete Alonso. I have it at 4:45. Mookie Betts at 4:70. Mookie's always fun. Mike Trout. And then one that's always that's my number. That's not market number. But and then one that has always been on mine. And this kind of goes back to the reference of the dead ball and like baseball just not being that fun this year. Has Acuna still not hit a home run? Like my
He's got one.
Yeah, one home
my
run.
My number for Acuna is always like way off market. It's like 3-1 that he should hit one because he's getting so many at bats for the best team in baseball. Like, you've got to at some point hit a home run, and just hasn't been fun to watch.
I know that we have waxed poetic about the baseballs and if it's dead balls or not, but So my boy Eli on Twitter, he put this out yesterday. Now, this is before last night's slate, and there were a good amount of home runs last night, so I'd like to see maybe a correction to this. But we've been wondering whether or not we've got dead balls here. So last year, there were 71 baseballs hit with a 106 mile per hour exit velocity at a 19 degree launch angle last year. The average distance of those 71 balls hit was 362 feet. This year, there have been 12 of those balls with the exact same exit velo, exact same launch angle. The average distance is 338 feet. Now, look, I know it's April. The weather is colder. Like, the ball won't travel as far. You're going to tell me that 106 mile per hour line drives are going 23 feet shorter? Like, that just seems impossible. That seems impossible. So I genuinely believe we at least – on certain slates, we're getting dead balls. I think there's multiple balls in circulation because that feels impossible.
First of all, I think dead balls are getting a bad rap here. I've got dead balls. I got snipped, and it's the best thing I ever did in my entire life. All right? Snippy is the smartest thing I ever did in my life. So what's wrong with a couple dead balls, Corby?
Yeah, you know, mine, I'm not there.
Yours are live. You're a live baller. Yeah, you're still live balling. You guys are live balling.
He's got juice
balls. We're actively throwing.
Yeah, we got juice balls.
You got the 2019 balls. No, I agree. I think the biggest thing about the baseball is when everybody references it, they reference the – and I don't want to go to like too nerdy of a tangent, but like they reference the little rubber piece in the middle, and they say like when it was a dead ball, it was like a different kind of rubber. Or when it was a juice ball, it was a different kind of rubber. And I do agree. The main thing about the ball this year is pretty confident. It's just like the
– Of course it's a different kind of rubber when it's a juiced ball. That's the whole reason.
But listen, it's the same one this year as the normal ball. It's not different in the middle. The only difference is the outside leather. Like that 30 feet of differential is from backspin. So if you have enough backspin, you can slow a baseball down a ton, which usually it's just the seams. This slows it down, and it'll slow it down like 15 feet, 20 feet. You've seen pretty often. But this year it has like a you can – even if you just look at the baseball, you can see like – grooves and mesh inside of the ball. Like it has more spots to grab. It's definitely traveling less far, but pitchers can still throw just as hard.
Do you think not to ramble too much here, but like, could that have any explanation into some of the other pitcher woes this year? Just the different texture of the ball? Is that enough to, you know, throw these guys off a little
bit? That's the sticky stuff debate. It's like, no matter what you have, you should just be able to like have full grip. It's some pitchers, like you see pitchers always have like wiped their forehead to get sweat on their hands to get the dust off the ball, but they have to do it every single at bat because like the ball is just collecting so much dust every single play.
I think the moral of the story is do better, Major League Baseball. Stop being assholes and make the baseballs consistent. This is ridiculous that we're even having this discussion. We're talking about a professional sport that generates billions and billions and billions of dollars in revenue, and we can't get the goddamn baseball right. I don't know. I just – how they are so different all the time makes absolutely no sense to me. I love the irony here that Steve Williams does a great job in the chat, but he's always trying to get me in trouble because I can't say everything he says. I love what he says, but I can't say it all. The irony of that is my – back in the day when I believed in all the religion stuff, like when I was a kid, you know, before I grew up and stuff – my youth pastor, his name was Steve Williams. So the irony is not lost on me that that has come full circle. So we appreciate you guys in the chat box. That the baseballs thing is a debate that is not going away. And I just don't know why Major League Baseball doesn't get a handle on this. This can't be all that difficult to manufacture the same damn baseball over and over and over again. All right, let's go to our next question here from Gary Sween. Q&A, Spencer Turnbull over 15 and a half outs at plus 125 and or Jake Irvin over 15 and a half outs at plus 115. So Spencer Turnbull going against the Reds. It's Nick Lodolo. I love me some Nick Lodolo, and I haven't really had a chance to talk about Nick Lodolo, but he's probably my favorite young pitcher in all of baseball. And when he's dealing the Duke, and the dude's a strikeout machine. And I actually do prefer – I was close to taking the Reds double result here because I do think the Phillies are going to struggle a little bit with the lefty Lodolo. And I like that Reds lineup, as I've talked about at nauseam, much better against right-handed pitching. But the problem is Spencer Turnbull has been coming out here dealing. Kenny, you're the Phillies guy. Like 15 and a half outs, is he going to get that deep into this game? When the Reds get going off righties, they will mash you up a little bit.
Yeah, my concern is him coming back to earth a little bit. It's also the second time that he's going to see this Reds lineup. I mean, the Reds lineup is just one of the hottest in baseball right now. And again, they saw him, I think it was like 3 weeks ago. And granted, he had a great outing, but the Reds just got off to a really slow start this year in general. Now, look, he followed that performance against the Reds up with three other pretty lights out starts, but it was against the Cardinals, who have been awful this year. It was against the Pirates, who have been all over the place, and he actually struggled against them a little bit. And then he just obliterated the White Sox, which I think any of the three of us could go out there and throw, you know, six innings, give up two runs against this team. So while I'm excited about Turnbull, I don't know how real this data is just yet. And I'm afraid of the Reds lineup right now. And if anything, this would be Reds or nothing for me.
And for me too, let me look here. Gosh, the run line, I'm trying to see what the double result is here, because I'm close to live buttoning the Reds, even though Turnbull has been good. What are your thoughts on this one, Corby? Talk me into the Reds here, or what do you think? Is it Phillies against Lodolo? What do you like?
Yeah, the Turnbull outs prop, I would lean towards the under. The interesting thing is he has went pretty deep, I mean, he just went seven innings, like, what, 4 days ago? 5 days ago, so not that bad. That's one of the deeper games he's played in quite some time. He's looked good. Kenny kind of hit my entire point nail on head, is who's it been against? Like, he's played nobody. He also has a 1.23 ERA. So to say that he's going to regress, I think, is a pretty fair statement. And he's not throwing stuff that has ever just, like, fascinated me. He's throwing 92 fastball, 84 sweeper, 93 sinker. Like, it's pretty much what you're getting with every pitcher. He doesn't have that much extension. His exit velocity is decent. Like, he looks very above average, but he doesn't look like a guy who's going to have a 1-2 ERA 10 games into the season. So I think this is just a sample size thing. He's seen the Reds once in his four games. To go see him again is a pretty tough spot. I would lean under five, basically, to come out after five innings. And I would probably lean towards the opposite side. I kind of agree, Reds are nothing. Could see Turnbull getting hit up. And the market seems to have enjoyed watching him as of late. So give me Reds. Double result would be fine there.
I'm taking – it's plus 150. So it's minus 105 on the run line, first five minus 110, but the double results plus 150. Now, the reason that for that is, of course, the Reds' bullpen stinks. But the good news is the Phillies' bullpen sucks. So it doesn't matter. You're getting two equally shitty bullpens here. You know what? Where's the live button? I'm adding a fourth play to the sheet today. Give me the live button. Give me the plus 150 on the Reds' double result here. If it was anybody else, I would take the first five, like my guy Ed Bluss says here. But since both bullpens suck, and I think that they both could implode at any time, give me this. We got a starting pitching advantage here, in my view. Taking the plus 150, Reds double result. Ed says, conversations about dead balls, juice balls, and sticky stuff, and rubbers. Don't forget, and rubbers is why this is the best MLB show ever. Damn right. That's why we do what we do. What do you got, Kenny?
Corby, I just had a question for you. Are you at all nervous at all about your Tyler Glasnow Cy Young futures? Because
0%.
My man Ranger Suarez is in the rear view, and he's got something to say about this. But dude, my only regret when I went on my entire Ranger tangent was, like, not just live betting him for the Cy Young immediately, because I think even at the moment, at that moment, he was, I think, 40-1. He's down to 20-1. He hasn't given up a run in like 27 innings. I don't think there's three lefties in baseball better than him right now. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked great. Let's see. The only issue I have with somebody like Ranger Suarez is he's 6'1". He's throwing 91 sinkers. So, like, at some point over the course of a season, you're going to get tired, and you don't have the naturally gifted enough stuff. Like, if he has one game, like, let's say he had to go two cores, and his fastball is just not being as fast, the sinker's going to sit middle of the plate, he's going to give up seven. Glasnow's already done that once, so I can get it out of the way as early as you can and make fun for the sample. But if the Phillies do good, I think he has an argument. His biggest issue, Suarez in particular, is that he's not the best pitcher on his own team, so it's really hard to give him a Cy Young. I think he probably is, but there are people rated higher right now, and it's like,
I mean, look, it's either him or Wheeler. I mean, like, there's like a debate in Philly that, like, people still think, like, I'm a Nola guy. I love Aaron Nola. I was thrilled that we re-signed him and gave him the bag. He deserved it. I want him in Philly. Ranger Suarez is without question better than Aaron Nola. Like, I don't know, like, by across every like statistical metric here. Like, there's not an argument for Nola against Ranger Suarez. I'm not going to go as far with Wheeler, and that's why Wheeler's currently the favorite to win the Cy Young. He's like plus 450 on most books right now, which even I think is a little insane here. But like, him and Ranger are, I mean, they're closer than I think people would give him credit for. And it's just, again, I'm only rambling on this because it's like one of the few takes on this show that I feel like has actually been relatively accurate. And he just continues to throw shutouts.
Hey, your Scooble looks great.
The Guardians, yeah, the Guardians look even better, man.
This is true. You got some takes.
About the Jake Irvin part of this question, too, because I think Jake Irvin's kind of interesting for Washington. He's going up against the Dodgers, so we know he's gone six innings in each of his last three starts. And the one thing, with all this talent in the Dodgers lineup, the one thing they do a lot is strike out. They are having trouble putting the ball in play oftentimes. 15 and a half outs at plus money. He's done it three straight. Dodgers strike out a lot. The offense isn't all that explosive yesterday against this team. I don't know. I don't hate that. I don't hate that one at plus money, quite frankly.
My only concern here is it's kind of weird. These two pitchers, they just faced each other last week. So it's like Dodgers had a series against the Nationals. They played some other team, and then they're running it back again. So like, Knack and Irving faced each other, I think it was like last Wednesday, and they both looked really good. It's just, you know, similar to like the Turnbull with the Reds. It's like when you see the same guy in that short a period of time, you imagine you pick something up here. Because somebody was asking in the chat about Landon Knack. I don't really know what to think of this guy. He looked pretty impressive in his first start. Welcome to the big leagues. His first ever at bat was against CJ Abrams, and he took him deep. And then after that, he settled in. I think gave him four shutout innings after that. Finished, I think, five innings, two runs. So maybe he's got some stuff here. The fact that these two teams just faced these two pitchers last week, it's a weird spot.
Agreed. Completely agree. Let's head to our next question from Christopher Chapman. My question for later is, which teams are best against lefties so far this season? So I could tell you the team with the best batting average against left-handed pitching is the Arizona Diamondbacks, followed close by, looks like, Cleveland, Chicago, the Phillies, which you wouldn't think. There's a lot of lefties in Phillies lineup, but the Phillies are up there. Astros, Braves, Mets, Orioles, and Dodgers round out the top nine in terms of power. It looks like the most home runs against left-handed pitching this year is indeed the Diamondbacks with 12, followed by the Braves with 10 and the Orioles with 10. It looks like the Diamondbacks right now are the leader in the clubhouse against left-handed pitching thus far. Did I get that wrong, Corby? Did your number say something different?
I cannot find it right now, actually. So I'm going to trust your numbers. It sounds perfectly right, Kyle.
I have those same numbers, Kyle. You're all set.
Okay, so we're good. So Diamondbacks right now raking lefties. The Phillies, I think they would be the big surprise up there for me just because they come at you with so many left-handed at-bats. That's a tribute to them, really, the Harpers and the Stotts and the Marshes and the Schwarbers. All these lefties, you would think they would struggle more against lefties. That's kind of making me a little bit nervous about Nick Lodolo today. But nope, Lodolo's going to dominate a Reds double result. That's sitting at plus 150. Next question from Zach Brown Band. Thoughts on a no home run in game today? Hit plus 1400 in Rockies Padres game Monday for no home runs. That's interesting. A game where they may not hit a home run. First thing I would do is I would absolutely use weather as a factor, right?
Yep.
Look for non-hitting conditions, winds blowing in, possible delays, stuff like that. Any thoughts on a game today that might not have a home run? I got to look because I have not even thought about that.
The two that grade out the best for this that I'm seeing is Blue Jays Royals. Again, Kauffman, not the easiest stadium to hit home runs in, and it looks like the wind is blowing kind of in from right center. And the second one, I want to double check this one, but it looks like the wind is blowing straight in at Wrigley today. Wrigley is getting crushed on all my weather apps, so I'd want to double check that. But those are the two that stand out. Blue Jays, Royals, and Astros, Cubs.
Shout out to the Royals for not striking out a ton. Easy money on Kevin Gausman under 5.5 Ks yesterday. Only 2 through 6 2/3. Easy money at plus 110. Corby, any thoughts on a game today with no home runs hitting it?
Yeah, I'm actually curious the price on these. So whoever asked this question, let me know the price on these two games. I've never heard of this prop market at all. Diamondbacks Cardinals, just with the Diamondbacks posting a lineup without their three top guys or top of the order guys. And then I had one more.
Twins White Sox is popping up a lot, and I don't hate that. Twins White Sox, I think, makes
sense. I'm seeing for D-backs Cardinals plus 550 for no home run.
See, I need a better number than that. I need a way number than that.
What's the Giants game? Yeah, it's probably going to take a second. Those should be comparable. Just based off, like, if you're just using totals, those should be comparable.
Sure.
Yeah, it would be whoever asked this question, it's a market so small. It's kind of like when Kyle did double result last year. It's a market so small that it probably doesn't get impacted by moves of lineups or moves of the total at all. So, like, this Arizona game opened up eight juice, I think, and now it's 7.5. And that market probably didn't move any. So if you see big moves, like if you see a team just not play any of their starters and the total goes from 9 to 7.5, 8, might look into the no home run market. I'm sure that it looks good.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, and that could be fun as well. Our next question from Ed Blust: thoughts on the over 7.5 in the Guardians game? I have that projected at right at it. I have it projected 3.9, 3.56. So what, 7.46? It is Carrasco, and they're doing that Cooper Criswell guy to open, who's not very good, whatever the hell he is. I would say based on the pitchers, I don't hate it, but the other factors here, it's tough. 7.5 is tough for me. I have it priced right at it,
That's moving up too. I'm seeing 8 across the rest of the market here, so if that's going up a little bit.
Yeah, if you're getting 115, I guess at 7.5, that's not terrible. But I have it right at 7.5, so I'm not touching it. What do you think, Corby?
Yeah, I agree. Carrasco stinks. If y'all want a laugh of the day, go look at baseballsavant.com, hit probable pitchers, and then go look at the pitcher or the picture that they used for the pitcher, Criswell. It is just the worst look you could have given a pitcher. Feel bad for the guy. They could have put a baby womb picture and it'd been worse, or it'd been better. It's just rough. An interesting thing for me, and you can see my projections, Ed, but basically every single game that I model out, I have under right now. I think I account the ball way more than market does, and it's just like I'm never going to be over, which is just not any fun. It's kind of impacted the amount of games I can bet in baseball, but I'm shading under on everything basically.
So yeah, Corbin, my question for you would be for this no home run prop. Like, I know it's going to be relative to the stadium, to the weather, to the total, but like what's like a round number that you're looking for that would get you interested in? Again, we just went on this rant about how the balls suck and the league stinks and the commissioner's an asshole. But like plus 550 for no home run in a, you know, in a bad hitter stadium with bad weather, like just based on just the balls this year alone and the lack of home runs, like that feels pretty good.
Yeah. Very interesting question. I have to look at the market itself. That game's also 7.5 juiced. Just under, so like out of the set, yeah. Out of the not the Guardians game.
Sorry. Oh, I'm thinking the wrong game. Wrong game. Yeah.
You're good. Go ahead. Are you? If he's talking Guardians game, I could be in the wrong. Yeah, but yeah. No, I think just like just the theory of like no home run lays. Like if like let's say it's juiced 7.5. Like out of the 7.3 runs, how many of them come from home runs? Probably like, I mean, less than 30%. So, I mean, 5-1 is pretty close. I would say 5-1 is probably efficient. The main thing I would do is like a very good example. If we had this bet, I would probably take it. Is this Arizona game opened 8 juiced over, but because the Diamondbacks posted a crappy lineup, it's fallen all the way to 7. And I'm 100% certain, I've never even looked at it, that no home run number did not move. It's at whatever it was at 8, and it just stayed because they don't really care. They're not taking action on it. So, one of the worst lineup. I think you get a better number now.
Which is exactly why you're an idiot, Jonte Porter, and all the people who thought their dumb little scheme was going to work. Do you think that they don't track the – do you think that they just don't all of a sudden go, oh, we got $250,000 bet on some dog shit player for the Raptors who plays like 11 minutes a game? All of a sudden, John, like, do you think they're not – how stupid – that entire Porter family, I'm starting to realize. The other brother's a little punk too. He's busted for being an asshole. When is Michael Porter Jr. going to be next? Because that looks like all those Porter boys were not raised right. If you did raise them right, hey, if you know their parents, whatever. But it looks like none of them Porter boys were raised right.
The craziest part is, and like Corby, we've talked about this for like some other situations, is like he easily could have gotten away with this for a while if they just were
spread it.
Like moderately, moderately smart about it. Like,
you don't have to spread it. You just have to not be dumb.
Don't be dumb. Like, maybe, you know, the following game, maybe bet his overs and let him tank it for you and at least show that you're able to lose here. But like, the fact that you thought an $80,000 same game parlay on this nobody to go under, and then he's just going to check himself out of a game with a mystery illness. Like, that's like, who thought this was going to work?
Yeah. Who's the mastermind here?
I've seen college
preparations
kids
A through G were unsuccessful. Yes, now it's preparation H. I mean, that's how dumb this sounds. It's Austin. It's right out of an Austin Powers movie.
Porter needed an interpreter. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. He's an idiot. Let's get to this last question here. Let's talk. We talked Mets Giants pretty good. I do think that money line for the Mets, it's Sean Manea and Blake Snell. It's just Sean Manea is real terrible. But let's talk about this game because I know Kenny had some thoughts on it. Thoughts on the Yankees game today? Clark Schmidt and the Yankees, Joe Boyle and the A's. Is this a Joe? I know, look, we kind of talked about Joe Boyle, and Joe Boyle meets the Corby criteria, right? Super tall, throws it really hard. He's sort of looked better. It was rough. We were all over him, right? Opening day or whatever the hell it was, opening couple of days. But, I mean, he's sort of settled in a little bit. Is this a terrible day to back the A's, who have not been awful? The A's have not been awful. What is it, Kenny? What do you think?
I thought about it, man. So he's thrown four starts now. He's had two really bad, including the first one of the year where he couldn't throw strikes. And then he's had two pretty decent ones. It's just a matter of if this guy can find the strike zone or not. I mean, the two games that he gave up seven earned runs, the common denominator there is he had four walks in both of those games. So if you think that he can try to just attack this Yankees lineup a little bit, I think there's some upside there. On the other side, I don't really know what to think of Schmidt. I mean, Schmidt's been pretty solid. I mean, for a number four, number five starter, like, you probably can't do much better than him. So, God, I think if I was going to do it, like, I don't know if I would just take the A's straight up, but it's like, I would just go for the max upside, and I would do like Boyle 7Ks A's money line for like some pocket change and just sort of ride the wave of, hey, if I think Boyle goes out there and shoves, the A's have a shot. But I don't think I would just go A's money line straight up.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough. Clark Schmidt actually does not profile that well. 784 weighted OPS against the A's, which is higher than usual. Joe Boyle, 551. Now, again, it's a very small sample size. But the Yankees are slow starters, and if the A's can jump out to a lead here, I actually have it priced minus 196 to the Yankees, so worse than market. So I'd say the value is on the A's today based on that projection, which is crazy. What do you think here, Corby? A's, Yankees?
Yeah, Oakland is my highest value of the day. Let me see what I make this number. It's my highest value of the day, and I did not bet it because, again, I don't have to bet on games, and I really enjoy not betting on Oakland. Also, after we got off the show yesterday, the Oakland lineup got posted. Shea Langeliers in the 8 spot, plus 100 to not score a run or RBI. The most, and that number should be minus 1, basically 150. First pitch, first at bat, absolute nuke, home run.
He's been on fire. So, that dude, you turned that dude into a superstar. You've turned Shea Langeliers into the best inning catcher.
Your boy Lawrence Butler went yard yesterday too, man. That's a guy that you've been... Yeah,
Lawrence Butler's a dog. Okay, so I made Oakland 165. So I actually have this a pretty good price. Again, shaded towards the under.
Right.
I was going to do like a reverse correlation because I actually don't think Boyle striking out impacts the Yankees' ability to win a ton because I just don't think Oakland can score, and like I think the Yankees have explosive power. So I was going to do like a Boyle over 5.5 strikeouts Yankees to win, but the price is just absolutely crazy. It's plus 280. So not playing that, but I do kind of like this like reverse correlation of a guy to do good and the other team still to win.
Shea Bangaliers, we've created a superstar here at the BetUS show. Guys, seriously, thank you for all your questions, all your funny comments, being a part of the show, hitting the like button. We appreciate all that. Don't forget to head over to betustv.com/join. 200% deposit match, all the crypto bonuses. Head over to BetUS, get in on the game over there. Let's go over our best bets and get you out of here on a Young Man Wednesday. Things could go really bad or really good for me today. I went ahead with four plays, a couple of double results at plus 150 in the D-backs with that D-bag lineup they put out, and the Reds at plus 150 behind Lodolo. Got Snell minus 130 to have under 6.5 Ks, and of course the Braves double result at plus 105. Corby's joining me at plus 105 on the Braves double result and taking the alt K number of 8 plus Ks on Joe Ryan at plus 127. And Kenny's on the D-backs money line at minus 108, and Pete Alonso to go yard in that Giants game at 4-1. Again, thank you all so much for watching. We really appreciate it. enjoy this week of sports. Kentucky Derby, NFL Draft. Don't forget to watch some baseball. For myself, Kenny, and Corby, have a great day, and good luck on all your future wagers.